Chancellor, let's talk about the importance of athletics in general. It was interesting to me that after these 5 years, that you who came out of this very much out of the academic sector of the university, and I think it's fair to say that you would not have characterized yourself as the biggest sports fan ever. Would that be?
I think that's that's fair, although I was certainly an avid follower of Carolina basketball.
You followed the basketball program. But it's interesting, Charles Klotfelter wrote a book, a Duke University professor wrote a book in which he laid out a case that if you study the mission statements of all the great universities, there's nothing in it about athletics, that the purpose of the schools are to inspire and enrich and educate and this sort of thing. I was surprised that you used and there was a lot of attention given to the fact that you cited the University of Chicago in your presentation to the sports panel last week. Chicago's dropped football. And said that you characterized that as having been not necessarily good for the school.
No, Jim, that's not what I said.
Well, so tell me what you
said.
That's
not what I said at all.
So tell me what you said.
I said that the University of Chicago is a great, great academic institution, and I said it was held in high esteem by academics. So there's nothing about the reputation of the University of Chicago that—
How was its mission diminished by dropping football?
Okay. Well, just let me finish, Jim.
Okay.
So they dropped football, which was a comment that I made after I made the case about the point I was trying to make about the University of Chicago. And that is that despite the very, very high esteem with which the accomplishments of the University of Chicago are regarded by people in academics, most people in the general public don't know a whole lot about the University of Chicago. And, you know, I'm going to Washington University, which has produced 23 Nobel Prize winners, and most people think I'm either moving to Seattle or the District of Columbia. All right, but Washington University is in St. Louis. It has a top medical school, top social work schools, top law, top business. It's an absolutely great school. And most people in the United States, if they haven't applied to it or know somebody who went there, they don't know as much about it as we would like at Washington University for them to know. So the schools that don't have big-time sports don't have the kind of international name recognition that that the schools who do have big-time sports have. Now, you could argue you don't want to be recognized among people who don't want to know about your academic accomplishments. But in fact, getting people to visit your campus and getting people to see your campus on television and getting people to see your logo on clothing and other items that are around is a huge advantage for universities in terms of getting their brand out there. Now, you can have a good debate about whether the risks of college sports are worth what you get out of it. And again, in full disclosure, I'm going to Washington University to get away from the risks of college sports. And the chancellor joked, you know, that after he hired me, he said, well, I haven't told you that we're going to decide to join D1 athletics. So I would consider that a violation of the agreement if Washington University was going to get into big-time sports. But I'm trying to point out that these excellent private research universities that are not in big-time sports have a hard time getting their alumni to come back to campus, creating loyalty that transcends the majors that the undergraduates have that redounds to the greater university, and getting the general public to know about where their university is. So Washington University is an example, and the University of Chicago. Most people think of the University of Illinois at Chicago, or they think of Northwestern. These are schools that play Division I sports, and there are intangible benefits that come from Division I sports. And public universities in particular need that because we need every tool we can to build awareness and understanding and loyalty to our universities. And so in my opinion, and again, I'm not the one that's going to be executing this next year, but in my opinion, those things outweigh the risks if they're done really, really well. And so this whole, all these things I'm saying about presidential control and all this is in an effort to get us to a point where we can do this really, really well.
But Klotfelter would say, how does that support the university's stated academic mission? University of Chicago is ranked number 4 in the country by both U.S. News and by Forbes. Carolina, in those same polls, are 30th and 47th. And the Ivy League schools seem to be doing pretty well in their academic mission. So how does it support the academic mission of the university to have the young man in the faraway place on the mountain where Carolina
can? Let me slip something in there, Jim, that I think is also important. And I hear this all the time, that the Ivy League schools don't have these issues. And I and as Carol Fault is coming in, you know, the News and Observer ran a piece that said because she was at Dartmouth, she hadn't had the athletics challenges. And I don't buy that, okay? Ivy League sports has got a greater percentage of students who are in the student body who are in intercollegiate athletics. There's still a differential in the academic qualifications of recruited athletes and the general student body. Harvard had basketball players in their cheating scandal.
You cited Chicago.
You brought up the Ivy League,
okay,
Jim.
All right.
So okay, we got to go over the Ivy League because this is important, because Carol Fault is coming here, and there are people saying that she's not prepared to do intercollegiate athletics, and I'm trying to make the case that she is. So Harvard had people in the cheating scandal, and when Harvard won the NCAA tournament game a few weeks ago, that place went bananas. So I don't think it's correct that – okay, I think it's okay to talk about WashU and the University of Chicago and Emory and Case Western Reserve and Carnegie Mellon. Those places are not in big-time sports. And the Ivy League's not in big-time sports, but they're in Division I sports, and those sports are very, very important to their alumni, and they have a lot of the same challenges that we have, and they have broad-based programs. So I think that it's not a correct thing to say – well, Harvard doesn't have big-time sports, and they don't seem to be suffering, because Harvard, the Ivy League schools, have issues with intercollegiate athletics.
I regret having used the Ivy League because it was not central to the point. Mike, I think that's an interesting debate, Chancellor, and it really has to do with, in the case of the University of Chicago, did its academic mission suffer because it dropped football?
Well, here's an interesting question to ask. Why did they add football back and join Division III, whatever it was, 20 years later? I mean—
But they're not a Division I.
WashU and Chicago play football. We'd love to have you come up to the game.
But the issue is big-time athletics.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the difference between big-time athletics and the Division III.
Right.
And so I think that at the end of the day, so that we can move on, what you're really saying is that you believe that the university's academic mission that our academic mission is supported and enhanced by big-time athletics.
Yes, it's part of the culture of being here. It's part of the experience of being here. We have students who apply to Carolina because they learned about it through big-time sports, and that doesn't just include undergraduate students who come here and do sports and aren't serious students. That includes really great people that we really want here. And when I was in the chemistry department, we had a lot of kids who had gone to liberal arts colleges that we wanted to come to Carolina for graduate school, and part of the allure for them was to be at a place where they could experience big-time sports. So, yes, it turns some people off. It turns some people on. But it is part of the Carolina culture. It is part of what we have here. And if you come to work here, you've agreed to come to work at a place that has big-time sports.
Well, we'll talk about areas that are not necessarily in the headlines but may very well be more important, and that is, how does this university and universities in general cope with rapidly changing times where Alvin Toffler's notion of the pace of change accelerating is palpable everywhere all around us. And we'll talk about that when we continue.